The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in Central Alberta.
An angel came to see Mary. She was doing laundry, and then the angel just appeared and she was really scared. So Gabriel was like, "Mary, you're going to have what? Mary, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a baby, and you will call him Jesus." And then Mary was like, "I'm not going to have a baby yet. I'm only a teenager. I'm not married." Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a new baby. And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey.
A camel.
Oh, yeah, a camel.
She said, "This donkey's fast."
Well, they tried to go to a hotel, and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
"We have no rooms. Literally, no rooms."
So Mary and Joseph walked away sadly, but then he said,
"The only place and here in Bethlehem that you can stay is a stable." And then he just pointed the way and they followed. When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angels said, "A new baby is getting born, who is King of the Jews."
The angel was singing,
and then the shepherd said, "I think we should go there and meet him." The second I sang said, "Yeah, I agree with you." And the other said, "Yeah, me too." They had to walk through a bunch of grass and bushes, maybe have to camp out a night. And then the wise men heard about it.
And then a star appeared.
"Well, we should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe." So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one that I have at home.
Some diapers, and some wipes, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
And I don't know how I would survive in that barn. Too stinky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room is very smelly. Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you're the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
New baby is gonna change the world.
Well, no matter how it's told, it's still the best story ever told, isn't it? We hear the story so many different ways this time of year. We can read it in the Bible. It's Christmas carols, Christmas cards, children's plays. It's the greatest story that's ever been told. It was 1903. It was December 1903. And it was Wilbur and Orville Wright who had were out at Kitty Hawk and had taken their flying machine out and tried to get it up off the ground. But that December 1903, it was off the ground and flew for about 120 feet. They were thrilled about their accomplishment, so they telegraphed back to their sister, Catherine, and said this to her. They said, "We've actually flown 120 feet, and we'll be home for Christmas." Catherine hurried to the editor of the local newspaper and showed him the message. He glanced at it and said, "How nice. The boys will be home for Christmas." He totally missed the big news that for the first time in history, man had flown. When I read about that this week, I thought to myself, you know, it's so easy at Christmas, this time of the year, to miss the really, really big news. We get caught up in all the other activities. We have a lot of gatherings to go to, a lot of preparing to do, a lot of planning, a lot of shopping. In fact, I heard of one guy that was in court last week, and the judge said, what are you charged with? And he said, I'm charged with shopping too early. And the judge said, shopping too early, that's not a crime. How early were you shopping? He said, just before the store opened, he said. things you find when you go on the internet. But what is the really big news of Christmas? The really big news of Christmas, we've already heard and we've sung about. The good news is God came. That's the really big news of Christmas. God came. The baby that was born named Jesus wasn't just an ordinary baby. He wasn't just any other boy. He was actually God in the flesh. The Bible says that God in Jesus literally came. That's the really, really big news of Christmas. Three statements from the Bible, I think, capture it. One would be this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will never perish but have eternal life. And then you have that statement that was alluded to earlier. It goes like this. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's Christ, the Lord. Then the third statement, which you have to add to these, is the statement from the angel to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, where he says, call his name Emmanuel, for he will be God with us. Those three statements capture the heart of the Christmas message, the big message of Christmas. God came, and his name was Jesus. Well, the obvious question that I thought I would just think about with you for a few minutes is just that question, why did he come? Why did he come? Why did God come? Why bother? I think there's three answers that are given. If you read the Christmas stories in the first books of the New Testament carefully, these are the reasons that God came. Number one, he came in Jesus Christ to show us what he was like. He came to show us what God was like, what God is really like. You know, in a crowd this size, if we went around and said, what do you think God is like? You'd probably get a whole lot of different ideas of what people think God is like. I know people that think God is, he's distant. He's there, but he's way out there. And if he is there, he's certainly not interested in my little life in Red Deer, Alberta, in my Monday to Friday and weekend stuff. He's distant. Other people would tell you, well, I think God is he's an angry God or a condemning God. And it just seems to be that when people step out of line, he wants to tell them where they're stepping out of line. People have this picture of a condemning God. But there's other people that their God is a scorekeeping God. It's like a God that keeps track of all the right things that we do and all the wrong things we do. And hopefully the good will outweigh the bad at the end of the day. Sad truth is a lot of people spend their entire lives trying to score points with someone who's not keeping score. When God came in Jesus Christ, he came to show us what he was really like. So what's he like? I guess the first thing you'd have to say is he's full of love, full of love. For God so loved that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. He's full of love. And when Jesus came, he came telling us that he was the exact representation of the invisible God. He came telling us that if you want to know what God is like, look at me. In fact, on another occasion, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen God. And as you watch Jesus and listen to him interact with people, the incredible love that flowed out of him, the only conclusion you can come to looking at Jesus is God must be full of love. But here's where we have to be careful. It's not the kind of love that we're used to. Not the kind of love that we're used to. We're used to this kind of a love if. I will love you if you do this. Or I will love you if you stay with me. Or I will love you if you keep your job. Or I will love you, you fill in the blank. We live in that kind of world. Or other people have a love because. I love you because you're rich. I love you because you treat me well. Or I love you because you're beautiful. Or I love you because you're handsome. You know, the problem with that kind of because is everything that's fit and firm will one day be fat and flop. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, there's evidence in the house today, actually, of that very truth. You know, that's the kind of love we're used to, love if or love because, but when it comes to God's love, He just loves. He just loves. He doesn't even give a reason. In fact, there's one place buried away in a book in the Old Testament, and it just basically says, I love you because I love you. That's it. The reason for God setting His heart on us has got nothing to do with us, but everything to do with what's in His heart. God is love, the Bible says in another place. God is love. Not love is God, but God is love, meaning God is full of love. That means this, He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He even loves me. There's not a person here that God doesn't love. And actually, if you push that down a little bit more, it means God likes you. He likes you. Likes you. He likes you. Some of us don't even like ourselves, but God likes us. God is love. Another truth that Jesus told us about God is that God is also full of grace. Not only love, but full of grace. This is what I found out about that. There was a man that walked close with Jesus his whole life, and his witness to the character of Jesus was, He is full of grace and He's full of truth. God is full of grace. Grace is pure, undeserved kindness. Just pure, undeserved kindness. Grace is love favoring us when we're not favorable. It's loving us when we're not lovable. It's accepting us when we're not acceptable. It's redeeming us when all the rules of the book, by all the rules of the book, we're not redeemable. That's what's called grace. Grace has nothing to do with merit. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. It doesn't keep score. It's not for the faultless. It's for the people who have really messed up. It's for the broken. It's for the people that have messed up. It's for the people who have done things that they're terribly ashamed of, that they don't want anybody else to know about. Grace is for those kind of people. And the Bible says God is, He's rich in grace. And He's rich in mercy. That's what it says. Now, I've traveled through the Bible from beginning to end a lot of times. A lot of times. I've never found anywhere that God is rich in compassion. Never found that He's rich in power. Never says He's rich in justice. He is. He's got lots of all of that. But it's interesting the way it sets apart mercy and grace and says he's rich in that stuff. Isn't that good to know? Because we're so broken, we've sinned so bad and so often and keep doing it, that the only thing available to most of us is grace. And God says, I'm rich in grace. In fact, I got so much grace, it's greater than the sum total of all the wrongs you've ever done. It's just God's pure, undeserved kindness to people who are the least likely recipients of it. You've never seen a God like the God that Jesus came to show us, to tell us about. And then He's full of truth, full of grace, full of truth. That means God will always speak truth to you. He won't lie. He'll tell you the truth. Sometimes it hurts. But when you're full of grace and you speak truth, you must, when you join those dots, it means whenever He speaks truth, it's always for our good. When you go through in the Old Testament the Ten Commandments, that's for our good. It's actually for our good if we don't murder. It's actually for our good if we don't commit adultery. It's actually for our good if we don't covet. It's for our good if we don't steal. It's for our good if we don't set up idols in our hearts other than the true God. See, when God speaks truth, it's good. It tells you something about truth in a post-truth world. And that's what we live in, isn't it? A post-truth world. It means that truth isn't up for grabs. If truth isn't your truth or my truth, when it says that God is full of grace and truth. And when Jesus stood up and said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, it means truth is revealed. Truth has been revealed to us by God. So you're dealing with a God that has been revealed by Jesus, who's full of love, who's full of grace, and who's full of truth. At the heart of the Christmas story, God wants you to know what He's really like. And the only way He could do that was by coming in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, walking around in flesh and blood, in the neighborhood, as it were, showing us the incredible character of God so that you could look at Jesus and say, that's God, and that's what God is like. Now, here's a second reason that God came in Jesus. He came to bring salvation. He came to bring salvation. I mean, that second statement from the Bible I read at the beginning says, today in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. A Savior. What's a Savior? Somebody that saves. That's what a Savior is. A Savior saves people that need saving. So who is it that needed saving that he came to save? Well, people that have sinned. People that have messed up. People that are messed up so bad they could never, ever hope to fix themselves. You know, that's called sin. When we live as though God didn't exist and just do our own thing, that's called sin in the Bible. The symptoms are all sorts of things, and you could probably name all of them. Pride, lying, swearing, cheating, that doesn't matter. Taking someone else's wife, taking someone's life, sin. What that does is it creates a barrier between us and God that we could never get through. Jesus came to save us from our sin. So how did he do that? Well, when he was about 33 years of age, he was nailed to a Roman cross, and my sin, your sin, was put on Jesus, and he literally paid our penalty, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. It's death. Jesus died for me. Crazy good news. 3 days later, God raised Jesus from the dead. He lives today. We worship him today. We celebrate him today. Because he took our penalty. He did what we could never do. Do you know that every religion in the world will ask you to do something? To do something. You know what Christianity asks you to do? Nothing. Just believe what Jesus did. The work that Jesus did is done. We're not asked to do anything except trust Jesus. You don't have to do anything. You can't make yourself acceptable to God. He did that for us. You know, he's the Savior for the whole world. The whole world. I mean, every other religion is, you could put it this way, an ethnic religion. Pluralism is the world we live in. Says that every religion has equal validity. But actually, every religion is ethnic to a particular people in a particular culture. For example, if you took Hinduism, that's restricted to the people of India. Or Confucianism is to the Chinese. Shintoism to the Japanese. Buddhism to all the other peoples of Asia. Judaism to the Jews. Islam, people of Arabic descent, and those that were converted to Arabic, Islam at the point of a sword. They're all ethnic in that sense. But Christianity is a global, it's for everybody everywhere. Everybody. No exceptions. Whosoever will can come. In fact, it's not even a Western religion, if you want to use the word religion. Jesus wasn't Western. He was Semitic, and his complexion would not have been white. He wouldn't have been a white man. He would have been dark-skinned. This is an incredible Savior that came for the whole world, not just one people. He came for you, and he came for me. Religion's about what we do. Christianity is actually about what God has done for us. He's a Savior. He saves people from their sin. You can be too good for God, but you can't be too God. To get in on the gift of Christmas, the forgiveness of sins and eternal life, you have to be a sinner. You have to be a sinner. If you're not a sinner, you're out of luck. Because he came for sinners. Doesn't matter how big a sinner you are, his grace is greater than the sum total of all of our sin. And it's a free gift, what he offers to us, forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Why did Jesus come? To show us what God is really like. To be the Savior of the world. But you could add one more bit to it. It would be, he came to do life with us. He came to live in relationship with us. The angel said, call him Emmanuel, because that means God with us. God with us. That means when you're in relationship with Jesus Christ, you never have to face anything alone again, ever. Never have to face anything alone. Christmas is a tough time for a lot of people. Maybe you've had a marriage break down and you're kind of on your own, or you've lost somebody really close to you, and there's an empty chair at the table, or there's been a financial breakdown, or you just got a bad diagnosis, and it's not an easy time, but what God did in sending Jesus is made it possible that we would experience his personal presence every single day of our life. We'll never face anything alone again. That's the big news of Christmas. God in Jesus came. No ordinary baby. And coming, he showed us what his character was really like in order that we would trust him enough for our own salvation and be people who would live in relationship with him and have hope that actually goes beyond the grave. In the Christmas story that we've heard so many different ways, I guess the question is, how does the Christmas story become my story? How does it become your story? Well, in that story, and you saw it in that kid's skit, there were three, at least we assume there were three because there were three gifts, kings or wise men, they came. Here's how the story becomes your story. Same as with the wise man. You hear and you go to Jesus. You hear and you go to Jesus. I want you to listen as they sing and play, and I'll come back and just fill in that a little bit more for you in a moment. Christmas story becomes your story. When you do what the wise men did, they heard the story, and you've heard the story. God came, sent Jesus, died on the cross for our sins in our place, freely offers the gift of salvation, eternal life, forgiveness of sins, so everything's blotted out, and you get a brand new start. You get hope that outlasts the grave. You hear, but you go to Jesus. Now, I know he's not physically here like he was when the wise men were here. So how do you go to Jesus today? I think you do three things. One is you plain old just believe that when God speaks, He speaks truth. And God says He loved you so much that He sent Jesus, that if you believe in Him, you won't perish but have eternal life. You believe God. You believe Him. Second thing is, you place all of your trust in Him. Maybe another way of putting that, you put all your eggs in one basket. You say, my only hope of being acceptable to God is that Jesus died for me. And you trust Him. You just believe that it was done for you. The third thing you could do is you could just call to Him from your heart. He's not far from any one of us. He holds our breath in His hands. And you could just in your heart say, Lord Jesus, maybe this is fairly new to me, but I believe it. And I need forgiveness. I'm going to open my heart. Could you save me? That would be good. And you could tell them that you just want to follow them. You could say that, or they're going to sing in a moment another verse, and you'll see the verse. You could let the words of what they sing be your prayer. As they sing it, you could say, Lord, that's me. That's me. That's what I want to do. I want to give you my heart. I want to give you my all. But be careful. Because in the Christmas story, there were people that actually missed Christmas. Missed Christmas. They missed Christ. The innkeeper. He had no room. You know, a lot of people today, their lives are so full, there's just no room for Jesus Christ. King Herod missed Jesus. Missed Christmas. Why? He wanted to be king. You know, to follow Jesus, you have to say, Jesus, you're king, you're Lord. But if you want to run your life, then you'll miss Christmas, miss Christ. And you know, there were some religious types in Jerusalem, and the wise men followed the star, but it stopped there. And so they went to these religious types, and they said, where is that baby that's born king of the Jews? And they took out the Bible, and they found out where it said Bethlehem. And they said to these guys, oh, in Bethlehem. And they directed the wise men there, but they didn't go themselves. There's a lot of people with a lot of information, but they've never acted on it. And you'll miss completely Jesus Christ. Could I encourage you today not to miss Him? Put your trust in Him. You know, there's some people that maybe you're here and it's all brand new and you say, you know, I'm just checking, I'm on a journey. Well, that's okay. You could come up on these tables at the front. We have these little books. They're different covers, but they're called the Gospel of John, written by one of the friends of Jesus. And it's all about who Jesus is and what He did. You're welcome to come up and take one. Inside, we have a little insert that says Alpha. And it's a Christianity 101 course that we run all the time. We're starting again in January, and you'd be welcome to come. Or today, if you would say in your heart, Lord Jesus, I want you in my life, then why don't you come up here? There's people up here with lanyards, and just tell them, you know, I'm a brand new follower of Jesus. And they'll give you a package on this table full of information, full of helpful things that will help you take the next steps forward in your Christian walk. So glad you came today. So glad that you took time to just stop and say, you know what? It's worth worshiping Jesus the King. If you gave Him your heart today, it would be the best Christmas ever. So let's stand together and let's listen and sing. And if the words that we're singing express what's in your heart, then you make it your prayer to God today, and He'll hear you and He'll give you new life.